Go ahead, I'll be turning your Bibles to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. It's great to see everyone this morning. The kids have had their first week of school. One down, many to go. Psalm 126. It is great to be a Christian, man. I tell you, this life is hard. But every time I think about the fact that one day I'm going to go to heaven, where there's no pain, no sorrow, no problems, no headaches, it brings joy to my soul. And that's what keeps me going every day. And that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Amen? That yes, this life as we know it, it's very, very short. Trust me, people. It's very, very short. Compared to eternity. Amen? And this morning, I want to talk to us about something that's very, very important. But turn your Bibles to Psalm 126, like I said earlier, and we're going to read this together. We're very familiar with this passage. We know it. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, you know, we wrote a song from this passage, like Men Who Dream. This is where it came from. It says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears would reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. This psalm was sung by the Israelites when they came out of captivity in Babylon. The Bible tells us that God had moved in the heart of Cyrus, and he allowed them to go back. They were in captivity for 70 years. And if you notice in your Bible, just right underneath Psalm 126, it says a song of ascents. Okay, ascents is not the guy's name. It's simply saying a song that they sang as they went up, ascending towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem is on a hill. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Save your money and go visit. It will change your life. And you can just imagine these guys as they were coming out of captivity, going towards Jerusalem. They were singing. They were happy to be back. That's when this was written. Are you with me? This is way before Nehemiah. You go read Ezra chapter 1, it tells you the whole story. But they were not coming back to a city that was built up. They were coming back to a city that had been destroyed. It lay in ruins. If you're like me, you like watching war movies. You know, like Saving Private Ryan. And you see devastation. And so I want you to imagine that. I want you to imagine Gwinnett County. Or wherever it is you live. Whether you live in Lilburn or Lawrenceville or Snellville. And the place is in total ruins. That was what they came back to. And they were singing this song as they came up to Jerusalem. This is where, as God brought us back to Zion, Zion is another name for Jerusalem, we were like men who dreamed. It says our hearts were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said amongst the nations, God has done great things for them. God has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. But you see, we got to ask ourselves, why did God allow them to go back to Jerusalem? God sent them back to go build his temple. Amen? The first wave of people with Zerubbabel and Ezra, they went back, and God says, go back and build my temple. That's very significant. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And that's the title of my lesson. Build the temple. But if you notice something, they went back to start rebuilding the temple. And as a matter of fact, if you read Ezra, in chapter 3, they built the altar. Then they met some opposition. Like always happens when you're doing the work of God, not everybody's going to be fired up. You're going to meet some opposition. That's just life. Amen? And so in chapter 4, they start. You say, Richard, you're going all over the place. Yeah. I'm trying to give you all this stuff so that you can go study it yourself. Okay, I don't have enough time to go through all this morning. But it's all in the scriptures. But in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 24, they stopped working on the temple. And then God now sent the prophet Haggai. So go ahead, I'm turning your Bibles to Haggai. In page 835, if you have the same Bible I have. Okay, but it's in there. It's one of the minor prophets. Haggai. After Zephaniah. It's towards the back of the Old Testament. And that's where we're going to pick up reading. Again, remember, God has said, go back and I want you to rebuild the temple. They went back with great anticipation, looking forward to rebuilding this house that God dwelt in. In Haggai chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while my house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give fearful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, Joshua son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to walk on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Like I said earlier, God allowed them to go back out of captivity from Babylon to Jerusalem. God says, I want you to go back and I want you to go rebuild the temple. Why was the temple significant? You and I know that in the Old Testament, the temple, especially the Holy of Holies, was where God dwelt. Are you with me? It represented God's
presence.
If people wanted, if you asked the question back then, where is God? Yes, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. I know he's omniscient, but you know what? He's right there in that building, in the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain. And you don't go in there. Nobody does. Even the high priest went in only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Are you with me? The temple represented the presence of God. And he says, I want you to go back and build it. But they didn't. They were doing their own thing, so to speak. They were building their own houses. They were taking care of their own needs. And God said, you know what? Give careful thought to your ways. God didn't get them out of captivity so that they can go live a comfortable life back in Jerusalem. That wasn't the purpose. God didn't get them out of there so that they can go back and start farming. No! You see, again, the temple represented the presence of God. Are you with me? Now, in Acts chapter... Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. Okay, let me back up. Let's stay in Haggai chapter 1. It says, give careful thought to your ways. You planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You're never satisfied. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages. It's as if you're putting money in a pocket with holes in it. It says, stuff you gathered, I blew away. Brothers and sisters, this passage has a lot of application to us today. So the question is there a spiritual drought in your life? Now, back in the Old Testament, like I said, they had a physical temple. Now, in the New Testament, we don't have a temple per se anymore. As a matter of fact, that temple was destroyed in 70 AD, that physical temple where God resided in one place. Now, the Bible teaches, as Christians, we are now the temple of God. But are you building this temple that God dwells in? And then you wonder how come things are not going great for you in life. You see, God has always been concerned about our relationship with Him. That's all God is concerned about. Why? Because if you really think about it, that is the only thing you take from this life. Or God help you, or lack of it, if you don't have one. When it's all said and done, the only thing that matters is my relationship with God. Now, the Bible teaches in the New Testament that you and I are a temple of the Holy Spirit now. Are you building up this temple? We all have 24 hours in a day. How much of that 24 hours is spent building up this temple where God Almighty dwells or is supposed to be dwelling? Or are we, you know, I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to see Jimmy. I got to do this. I got to do this. And then you wonder, how come things are not adding up? We got to get back to the basics. Amen? Amen? This is not complicated. Now, it's very exciting. If you think about it, it says in the second year, on the first day of the sixth month, that's when Haggai came and spoke to them. And then, by the 24th day of the sixth month, they got to work. They repented. Although it took them 3 weeks. But they repented. And they started to build the temple. Are you with me? You see, we're just like the Israelites. First of all, we are spiritual Israelites. That's what the Bible teaches in the New Testament. But we're just like our forefathers back in the Old Testament. We get distracted. Remember, they went back to Jerusalem with good intentions. They were going to rebuild that temple. Is it any wonder? Remember the second wave of people that came and the third wave with Nehemiah? God said, okay, you've rebuilt the temple. Now go do what? Go rebuild the wall. He told them to rebuild the temple first. Because that was more important than the wall. Oh, you didn't get that. You see, it's all about our relationship with God. That's what God is after. That's what He's always been after. Throughout the ages. And now.
It's always about my relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. And that's why, yes, it's as simple as I got to get into that Bible every day. Church, can I get an amen?
Amen.
I got to get on my knees and talk to Him every day. It is a relationship. You get out of it what you put into it. You reap what you sow. Amen?
Amen.
I promise you, eternity is not going to be about watching football. Let me disappoint you. It's not going to be hauling about the Dallas Cowboys or the Washington Redskins or whoever it is that you support. God doesn't care about any of that. God doesn't care about your quote-unquote extracurricular activities. He doesn't care. The only thing He cares about is your relationship with Him. And if you are having a problem in this life, I can tell you right now, you are not going to like being in heaven. Because in a sense, the reason why we're still alive is just a practice for what we're going to be doing for eternity. Are you listening to me? Is what I'm saying making sense? It's about your relationship with God. It's always been about that. And it will always be. So I'm asking you this morning, is there a divine reason for the problems in your life? How many of you have ever lost money? You had money somewhere and you know, all of a sudden you went looking for it and you couldn't find it. I don't know about you, it's not a good feeling. Okay, it is not a good feeling. Especially if you lose a lot of money. And that's why I don't put a lot of money in one place at the same time. Because if I lose it, man, it's all gone. I mean, so all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second. I have $100 in this pocket. And then I realize, oh, man, there's a hole. Now somebody picked that money up and it's gone. It's a horrible feeling. But God is saying to us, hey, you know what? When we're not putting Him first and His relationship with us, it's as if you're earning wages and you're putting the money in a pocket with holes in it. It's as if you're going from A to B to C and you're never satisfied. And He's saying, you know what? We got to get this right. Go back and build the temple. My presence is what's important. Amen? Oh, there's so much in here. You see, the temple is where God dwells. God is more concerned about my relationship with Him more than anything else. God is more concerned about your walk with Him and His walk with you than what you eat. Did you hear me? That more important than your job. God doesn't care if you have a job or what kind of job you got. He's more concerned about His relationship with him. Now, praise God, in his providence and in His mercy, He allows us to have jobs. Are you with me? But that's just the icing on the cake. Amen? That's why you can't wake up every morning and just rush out the door. Oh, I got to go to work. I got to go to work. I got to go to work. Go to bed early. Get up early. Put that day before Jehovah. Amen? Tell Him to walk with you. Amen. Open up that Bible. Father, show me something new. Show me something that I need to grow in. Show me something that I need to become more like Jesus in. Amen. And then buckle up. You better get ready. Because while you get in traffic, he's going to start answering that prayer. Amen?
Amen?
Because that's all He's concerned about. That's what we're going to be doing for eternity. He's not making noise about any, you know, useless thing on the face of this earth. You think, who's going to care that the New England Patriots won 4 Super Bowls in this lifetime, 1 million years from now? First of all, even as we speak, people on the other side of the world do not give a flip what goes on in America as far as American football is concerned. We're the ones that make noise about it. Just like we don't care about what happens in soccer. Are you with me? And I bring these things up because the things we focus on are so insignificant. When we think about eternity, when we think about God. Now in chapter 2, watch this.
He says on the 21st day, we're still in Haggai, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Did you see it? Let's back up. I'm not sure you did. God said, go back and build a temple. They got sidetracked. The prophet came, preached, they repented. They got back to work, and they rebuilt the temple. This is the same temple that Jesus would come into 600 years later and be asking questions of the teachers and the elders when he was 12 years old. He says, the desired of all nations, that's another name for Jesus, will come. You see, a lot of times what happens is we look at life as if it's a photograph. We just see one thing, one place. When God was saying this, he was looking ahead. This was the same temple that his son was going to walk around in. Are you with me? But obviously, you know, they didn't see it back then. Now, we're able to look back and read the story in hindsight. And it makes sense to us. But you see, they had to rebuild the temple because Jesus was coming. And there were certain things he needed to do in that place. Because remember, when he came, he says, you know what? Hey, I'm going to destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days. They thought he was talking about that temple. Wait a second. It took hundreds of years to build this thing. And you're going to come in and destroy it in 3 days? And they thought he was crazy. You know the story. You've read the Gospels. At least I believe you have. Amen. There is so much in the Bible, people. We got to get in there and continue to take it apart. Amen. But I want you to imagine something. He asked them a question. He says, how many of you saw the glory of the former temple? He's talking about the temple that Solomon built. It's funny, again, if you go study the Old Testament, it took Solomon twice as long to build his palace than he did the temple. That tells you something. But we're not going to preach about that today. He spent more time building his palace than he did the temple. That's a different day, different sermon. All right? If you remind me, I will preach it. This is the same temple that had been destroyed. When they were carried out into captivity, Nebuchadnezzar took all the gold. He stripped the place of all the gold and all the silver. And so you can imagine they came back and now they're building a new temple. I can just imagine there were older people in there going, you know what? Man, this thing, it doesn't look the same like the old one. It doesn't have the same glory like the former one. Because, again, a lot of the silver wasn't there. A lot of the gold wasn't there. Are you with me? But what does God say in Haggai 2? He says, this new temple, the glory is going to be much brighter than the former temple. Why? What is it that makes the temple glorious? It's the presence of God. It wasn't the gold. It wasn't the silver. It was the fact that God is there. Amen? Now, here's the application for us that really excites me. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, You can write the reference down. The Bible says, the God who made the heaven and the earth, he does not dwell in temples built by hands. Okay, he doesn't. Are you with me? God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He fills the entire universe. Are you with me? There is no place enough to contain him. That's what we learn from the scriptures. Back in the Old Testament, there was one temple where the children of all God came, you know, to worship God and to pay homage to God and to offer sacrifice and everything. Now we're under a different covenant. Amen? It's called a new covenant. Jesus is our high priest. Again, I don't have the time to go into that today. That's a whole different sermon on itself. Amen? The Bible says he's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. He's in heaven right now. Amen? One day, we're going to stand before that throne. Every single man, high and low, rich and poor, short and tall, everybody will stand before that throne and give an account. It is going to happen. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Amen? And one day we're going to give an account. But you see, God wasn't going to wait till the very end. He says, you know what? I'm going to destroy this one temple. And then I'm going to allow myself to dwell in my children. Every single one of us, as baptized disciples of Jesus Christ, God resides in you. Through the Holy Spirit, amen? Yeah. Amen to that? Yeah. Does that fire you one up? Yeah. Despite the fact that we're wretched sinners, this holy God decides, you know what? I'm going to take residence in here. I mean, what would you do if you found out that the president was coming to have lunch in your house this afternoon? You probably would have been cleaning for the last 2 weeks. Isn't that what you would do? I know that's what I would do. Man, the floors will be spanking. Everything's going to be sparkling. Why? Because you know what? Quote unquote, a VIP is coming to dine with you. Are you listening to me? Is God happy to reside in you? What kind of a dwelling are you? Is it clean? How much effort do you spend preparing it? We're talking the King of the universe. Every president will die. Every human will die. Every VIP is going to bite the dust. We are talking about the King of all kings and the Lord of lords. What kind of dwelling are we? You see, these are the kind of things that should keep us from sin. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We know this verse, but I want us to read it together. First Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 18. It says, flee from sexual immorality. Run for your life, okay? All other sins a man commits are outside of his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. And then verse 19 reminds them, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You and I were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Amen? Amen? We need to understand every day that this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is why I am not going to go to some pornographic site. I would die first before that happens.
Oh, Richard, you're boasting again. I'm not boasting. I'm telling you what the scriptures teach. I'm telling you where my motivation comes from. This is not rocket science. Now, you may think, oh, yeah, I'm just here by myself. Nobody knows what's going on. My wife doesn't know what's going on. My parents don't know what's going on. I can just be here. God sees everything. Why are you defiling this temple? If you say you love God, why would you continue to live a life like that? Why would you continue to crucify Jesus over and over and over again by deliberate sin? Because that's what the Bible says you're doing. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I got to protect it. I got to take care of it. Amen? Amen? Same thing physically. I'm not in the best shape where I need to be. I say, you know what? I'm repenting. I'm going back to the gym, man. I got to be around physically to do all this stuff God wants me to do. It's not easy to lose weight. I wish you can just think about it and it happens. It doesn't work that way. You know, Andreas was very kind. He gave me this program that he wrote. And he goes in every day and he's been charting his, you know, workout. Date, his weight, what he did for that day, whatever. See, my problem is, after several weeks and I don't see any improvement, I just say, forget this. I say, no, bro, let me help you out. And he gave me this program. It's just on Outlook. Sorry, Outlook Express. Excel, I'm sorry. And I started charting my progress. And he showed me his. It was very encouraging because after a while, you can just see the, you can just see the drop. I said, oh, that fires me up. Let me have that. And so he emailed it to me. And every day religiously, I put that stuff in there. It's been exciting. So 5 days a week, now I'm going to the gym. Why? Because I need to take care of this temple. I mean, Phil Dawson has lost a lot of weight. I mean, he was showing me his stomach muscles the other day. He says, brother, feel this. I said, man. My heart goes out to you. What excuse do I have? Amen? Amen. We got to take care of this temple. Amen. We got to. I was at Gwinnett Medical, I mean, 3 times this week. If we don't take care of this temple, it's going to break down on you. Amen? We have to, because this is where God dwells. It's not ours. We were bought at a price, the Bible says. But if you remember what we read in Haggai 2, it says the desire of all nations will come, and I will give you peace. You see, when we get this temple right, when we get our relationship with God right, when it's where it's meant to be, that's when you're going to get the peace. Are you with me? The peace is not going to come when everything falls in place for you in life. Oh, no. The peace is going to come from within. Jesus even called himself the Prince of Peace. Are you with me? The peace of mind that you're looking for is going to come as a result of God dwelling inside of you. Not because they gave you a salary increase or you got a new job or now all of a sudden this works out. That's not it. Amen? It's going to come from the inside. And so, brothers and sisters, we got to spend all our energies thinking about the temple where God dwells. You remember the story in John chapter 2? What did Jesus do? He came in there one time and he just, I mean, can you imagine if I, all of a sudden I just start turning all this stuff upside down? Just grab this key. Whoop! Bam! That's what Jesus did. Why? He says, how dare you turn my father's house into a marketplace? You see, the temple signifies where God resides. It's supposed to be a place where we go worship. It's supposed to be a thing that draws us closer to God. And they had turned it into a marketplace. They had turned it into something else. It was now a place of business. What have we turned this into? Would Jesus come in today and flat make a whip and just start laying you out? Say, get this out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a marketplace? Amen?
Amen.
See, I don't know about you. These are the kind of scriptures I think about and meditate on. These are the kind of things that keep me straight.
Amen.
Yes, I'm tempted to want to go here and do this and do whatever. I'm not doing it. Oh, no. I am not going to conform my life any longer to the pattern of this world. But by the renewing of my mind on a daily basis, I am going to do what the Lord's will is. Folks, it's not rocket science. Are you building God's temple or are you building yours? That's the question I want us to go think about today. You know, there's a song we sing around here. It's number 440, Sanctuary. And I want us to sing it as we end the service today. And then we're going to say a closing prayer. It says, "Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary for you."